And what I'm doing, I'm finding out that if you want to love like Jesus, that's more than a notion.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Because when you look at the people who Jesus approached and who approached him, and how they came, and compare yourself and say, well, how well do I do compared to what I read that he did when someone came to him with an issue? And you know, the New Testament is filled with issues that people just dropped right on Jesus as soon as they came around.
Yeah.
Folks with leprosy come to him, and he didn't say, get away, you unclean lepers, go away from here. And what he did, he touched them.
Yes.
Wow, okay. I checked myself. I said, man, I'm a little short, quite a bit short on some of what Jesus did.
Oh, that's right.
But that's the purpose of this series, is to help us to understand that there are other people in the world dealing with stuff that's serious.
Yeah.
And the same one who helped me with my junk, who keeps helping me with all my mess,
man,
throughout my life, everything I run into or stumble over or trip over, is there to help them, whoever they are.
Yeah.
So I have to learn how to reserve personal thoughts and start to try to get in the spirit and slip past that and see people the way he does. And that's not easy. It's a difficult thing.
Yeah.
So that's why we've been talking about this all year. And hopefully, and I'm sure, the Bible says his word will not come back to him void, but it will accomplish the purpose whereunto he sent it. See, it's just like the rain. That rain comes and it produces crops and all kinds of things grow, and it wouldn't grow if God didn't send the rain, and he knows, but it does, because it's effective. And so that's what we're looking at here. So without any further ado, today we take a look at something that's a little bit more close to us, perhaps, and that has to do with the spiritual walk that we're on. It is a spiritual walk that you and I are taking. And so I want to call your attention to someone who we can use for an example from the Old Testament in the book of Nehemiah. I have that on your printed handout if you happen to have one. And we're going to just take a look in chapter 6 at what was going on in the palace that Nehemiah was a part of. And we're going to go to the New Testament in a passage that I was reminded of recently. That's beautiful, a beautiful passage of scripture, and talk about how all these things relate to your walk and your faith walking in the Spirit. Amen. So let's read Nehemiah, first of all, chapter 6, starting at verse number 1. Now when it was reported to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, and to the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall, and that no breach remained in it, although at the time I had not set up the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me saying, come, let us meet together at Sepharim in the plain of Ono. But they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? They sent messages to me four times in this manner, and I answered them in the same way. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me in the same manner a fifth time with an open letter in his hand. We've read five verses of the sixth chapter of Nehemiah. May God bless the reading of the Old Covenant. Amen. Now for the New Testament scripture reading. And you know what? I don't think I put what version that was, but it was not the KJV, in case you happen to be reading that. So we're going to look now at the New Testament scripture reading of the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 28 through 39 from the KJV. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. That's the new covenant word of the Lord. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. These words are very, very powerful words in Paul's epistle here to the Romans, chapter 8. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And as I mentioned, we want to talk just from a few verses here in these texts. Your faith, walking in the Spirit. This is where we have to get if we're going to really prosper in the things of God. The Bible says without faith it is what? Impossible to please God, right? For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So it takes a diligent seeking of God. That means we're going to spend some time thinking about him. We're going to spend some time meditating on what God said. We're going to spend some time with God's people. We're going to spend some time in God's word. See, this is what we have to do. If we're diligent seekers, we're going to spend time thinking about what God said. We're going to spend time in prayer, talking to God about things that we need to talk about. And what is that? Mostly everything in your life. The songwriter said what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. It would be very hard for us to do something like some of the stuff we end up doing if we were praying. I can't talk about somebody or look down on somebody if I'm praying for you. See what I'm saying? Not unless I'm acting and I'm showing off, I'm not really praying. See, prayer is a very important thing, and I can't pray and then be thinking something wicked about you at the same time. See, so that would eliminate some of that. If I was praying for you, I might not be gossiping about you. So prayer is a key, and prayer is just communication with God. See, involving God in the stuff in your life. Amen. See, whatever you're dealing with, you might say, well, I'm just going down to the store. Well, you probably need to involve God in your trip to the store.
Right.
See, you need to involve him in the work that you're doing. Because otherwise, there could be a problem. You know what? Now, y'all don't have trouble like this. It's probably just me. But sometimes when I'm just minding my business, old Chucky slips in. I don't know if y'all know who that is. Y'all might have another name for him. You see, you slip back into an old mode like you may have been before you knew Jesus. Like when somebody get on your last nerve, you kind of put Jesus to the back burner. Then that last nerve kind of takes me to another space where I don't really need to be. And I might even have to go, oh Lord, I'm sorry, after I go there. You see? And so you have to walk by the Spirit in order not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, the flesh is always warring against the Spirit. That's what we said when we looked at the book of Galatians. Like the church to know this, and y'all have heard me say it, who've heard me teach anytime before for any amount of time, we really have to watch it. I think the flesh is the worst enemy that you have.
Yeah.
You know why? And I've told y'all why. Y'all know why. I think I got too much gain on my monitor there. The reason it is The worst is because I can't get away from it. I am here all the time. See, the devil can't be everywhere all at the same time. The devil can't be bothering me at my place and he's over at your place too. See, because he's not omnipresent. A lot of people give the devil more power than he has. He can't be in my place if he's at your place. The scripture says he goes about walking about seeking whom he may devour. He can't even move very fast. That's why we say don't let the devil ride. Because you get in your car now, I might get a little bit further quicker than I can on my own. See? So he's walking about, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. Like, I'm looking for which one of you is ready to set aside your Christianity for 10 minutes so I can use you. Which one am I, who I can get to push to the side so I can use you to irritate or hurt somebody. See, and so the devil does that. He goes about as a roaring lion. And y'all know what that means, really. Have you thought about it? The lion is quiet all day if he ain't hungry. And he don't roar until I see the prey and I got you. By the time you hear the roar, it's too late. When you hear the lion roar, it's too late. I got you now. I'm on you. You know, he don't say a word till I got you. See? Because he's quiet. Otherwise, the prey would get away. So he's sitting there. He's a stealthful kind of an animal. I'm sitting there when you straggle too far away from the group. Dinner. That's the way he thinks. And when, by the time you hear him growl, it's too late. You can't put your best stride forth. Like Brother Johnson told us last week about the two men that was sitting down in the woods. Y'all heard that. Y'all was here. Y'all heard that. Said the one started lacing up his shoes and all that. He said, what you lacing up your shoes for? He said, there's a bear over there. He said, oh, you can't outrun that bear. He said, yeah, I know, but I got to outrun you. If I do that, remember he told us that last week? I'm ahead. While he eating you, I'm going to be on up the road. So we have to be careful how we do stuff.
All
right. See, walking, and the scripture uses the same term to talk about me and you and our faith.
Yeah.
Walk by faith and not by sight.
All right.
See, we must walk in the spirit and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So our life and our faith is what connects us to the walk, the spiritual walk that we have to take. Now, I just brought forth an example here. That's what I want to start with you about. Nehemiah, you know about him. He was the cupbearer of the king. That means he was kind of a guinea pig. It's a noble position because you pick somebody who is nice, well-known, that nobody would want to hurt them. Because his character, his credibility, if you wouldn't want to hurt him, then you probably wouldn't hurt me. Because, you know, he's going to eat everything before it comes to my table.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? Nehemiah had to taste everything that the king was going to eat. He was kind of like the guinea pig. If something happened to him, then I ain't eating it. So the people knew Nehemiah, knew he was a good man, even though he was one of the exiles from Israel that they've been taken into captivity by the king. But they said, we wouldn't want to hurt him. So that's in case the cook has been given money to pay off to try to knock you off as the king, you know, by your son maybe, who might be the prince that might want to get rid of you. That's the way stuff was rolling back in those days. So we're going to pass it all through Nehemiah. So Nehemiah was well known. He was the cupbearer. He got to taste everything. The wine, the good food, all the stuff coming to the king's table went to him first. So that was a noble position. I got to trust you too, so that you don't slip me a Mickey and then next thing you know, you get in cahoots with somebody. I need an honorable person to do this.
What you know about a Mickey?
See what I'm saying? So the fact is that Nehemiah was in that position, and so therefore, when he heard that the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down and burnt with fire, it broke his heart. And he wept for a long time because of the desolation of the Jews. And so eventually, since he had a good standing and good notoriety with the king, he went and he asked permission to go back and reconstruct the walls that had been destroyed and broken down. The king, understanding him and having had a camaraderie and friendship with him, allowed him to do that. Well, you go ahead on Nehemiah. I'll give you everything you need to make it through, because you got to pass through all my guards and all my different officers and things of that sort who protect the kingdom, and I'll give you my permission. He wrote him a letter of permission. And so Nehemiah went back with some of the people who told him that this had happened, after he wept and fasted before the Lord for days. Because it was heartbreaking for him to see the walls of Jerusalem and the city of God destroyed. You and I ought to have some things that we weep about.
All right.
When we look at the condition of the church.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff in the church not right.
Amen.
See, in the visible church.
Yes.
There's some stuff out there that's just not right. See what I'm saying? So we want to make sure that we pray and be in a prayerful mindset about where is the church at this time.
Yes.
We were talking about this in the new member class, because there's a lot of really, really just gripping issues that the church has to deal with.
Yes.
See, and we're in a critical time when the law is now okaying a bunch of stuff that the church teaches against.
Yes.
And they're trying to make it legal so that they don't have to feel bad.
Yes.
About it. When they don't know, you know, the solution is get free from it.
Yes.
Jesus can give you freedom from it if you understand the gospel.
Yes.
Nehemiah was in a similar situation. It says here now, and he had enemies, just like you and I may have enemies. The thing we have to remember is that Jesus had enemies.
Amen.
And how did he deal with his enemies, the people who were against him? See, he always stayed a step ahead of them. Why? Because he was in contact with the Spirit of God, even though he had reduced himself of complete equality with God for a space of time in order to purchase our salvation by the sacrifice of his own life. So, but the way he operated was to be in the Spirit. See, I'm going to constantly deal with God Almighty about everything I'm doing. So when they come to me and try to trick me and say, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? That was a trick question. He discerned you trying to get over. You know, if I say, yeah, Caesar's no good or something like that, you're going to have the Romans come in and get me and take me, and that's it. They'll find some fault in me. See, so he said, well, just bring me a penny. Who is that on there? And he looked on there. So who is that on there? Whose picture is that? Oh, that's Caesar. Well, Jesus said, oh, well, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And boy, that was a wise way to answer. Why? Because he prayed. He was connected to the Father. See? And he didn't just say what may have come to his mind, you know, even though he was flawless and perfect his whole life from the womb, but he prayed. That's my point. He's walking in the Spirit. You and I got to learn to connect with the Spirit. And like James said, be quick to hear. He said, it's slow to speak, slow to anger.
Yes.
See, that those things, you know what? Anger is not sin. Have you ever heard that before?
No.
Being angry is not sin. The Bible says, be ye angry in Ephesians chapter 4, but do not sin. So that lets you see anger is not sin. There's a lot of stuff ought to make you mad. But when it does, how do you process the anger? See, what do you do with it after you find out that I'm upset now? Do you let the anger take control and the flesh kick in? I do sometimes. Then I'm sorry later. Well, you went too far. You should have shut that tongue down. See, you should have thought about it. Swift to hear, slow to speak. Think about it first. That's what that means. And slow to anger. See, slow that down, because it's going to be a problem if I don't. See, and then pray about it in between time. When you do, you may come out with a good answer. The Bible has a lot to say about that. It says that a soft tongue breaketh the bone. It'll get you through a situation. A soft answer is better than a rebuke. See, and so you have to learn how to process and do some of the admonitions the Bible gives you when you come to a time of anger.
Amen.
Otherwise, we may sin in our anger.
Yes.
And the Bible says, be angry. We command you to be angry. There's stuff you ought to be mad about, but do not sin. See, so that's the balance right there. So primarily, we have to, in order to do this, it's going to take a spiritual contact with God.
Yes.
I can't just fly off the handle and say anything I think.
All right.
See, and sometimes a person is trying to get you to fly off the handle.
Yes.
And know what buttons to push. I'm going to get you, Brother Johnson. And they're thinking that in their mind.
Yeah.
If I keep on pushing right here, needling him, he's going to bust up and that's it. Yeah. And I got him. And the devil thinks that way. He's thinking of a way to undermine you, to disgrace you if possible. So you always have to be ahead. The only way you can, when you hear something, process it. Pray on it.
Yes.
Talk to God about it.
Amen.
Before you ever say anything, it's okay to say, I'll get back with you. And leave. If you got to leave to keep it from escalating, leave.
Yes.
That's why Paul told Timothy, flee temptation of any kind. If you got to go, get up and go.
Amen.
But you don't process that anger the wrong way because it's going to make you have a bad situation. In either case, Nehemiah was doing good. And he asked for permission. He got permission. He went out and he began to do the good work that he knew needed to be done. And why he said, because the Spirit of God told me what to do.
Yes.
To go back and get permission. And he did. He went on out. But then guess what? The devil and his advocates reared their ugly head. Yeah. They don't want to see the people of God advance. And so it says here that he said, when I reported to Sanballat and Tobiah, he said, when it was reported to Sanballat and Tobiah, these are some enemies of his, to Geshem the Arab, now you see Arabs are still mentioned here, it says Arabian in the King James, to the rest of our enemies, you notice that? That I had rebuilt the wall and there was no breach remained in it. That's how they were going in and out, looting the city, was through the wall, the big holes that had been made in the wall. And although at that time I had not set up the doors in the gates, he said, I wasn't quite done. I got pretty far. And now here come the enemies. Do you have stuff like that in your life? You've been working on getting it better and fixing it up. And then it looks like as soon as you get where it's going to be all right.
Yep.
Here come some enemies or some situation to thwart you in the process. That's how life is sometimes. You know, the enemy wants to break you up before you get to your level, your breakthrough and your prosperity. So if I can get you so far, then get you to crash the whole thing, then I'm doing my job. I'm still stopping you. You see, so you will have enemies. That's why Jesus told his people that in the world, he said, you shall have tribulation. But he said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. How can I be of good cheer in the middle of tribulation? Only one way. You have to remember whose you are and remember who he is and take everything to him in prayer. See, and realize he's taking you to a good spot.
Yes,
no matter what, and nobody really can stop his work.
Amen.
If God's doing it, it can't be stopped.
No way.
So if God said, that's why the Bible says, we're going to see that in a minute in Romans 8. But let's look here. The enemies come in right in the midst of Nehemiah's good work that he's on a commission by God to go and do. And here comes the enemy, and they don't just come once. Notice what happens here. Sanballat and Geshem, they sent a message to me saying, come let us meet together at Sepharim in the plain of Ono. Let's go out to a special place here, Nehemiah, and get together. Let's have a meet. But notice what Nehemiah said. He perceived that they were planning to harm me.
Yes.
You want to bust me up, get me out here, then nobody knows what happened. See what I'm saying? Notice his response. He was in the spirit. He says in verse number 3, so I sent messengers to them. We're going to play this messenger business, all right. I am doing a great work, sir, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? What makes you so important that your mission is bigger than God's mission? God told me what to do.
That's right.
So you think I'm going to stop to handle some of your hogwash. You know what? When you really get close to a breakthrough and where God is taking you, look out. Look out for what kind of stuff starts to come around. See, when you get close to a breakthrough, look out. Not everybody is your friend that's smiling in your face. And I'm not going to go to the song. Y'all know what I'm thinking. They smile in your face, but all the time they want to take your place. See what I'm saying? But there's a little bit of truth in that. Because you can be starting to move ahead and somebody may not like it. You see, Keep yourself in the love of God.
Yes.
Keep yourself in faith.
Yes.
Walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
You see? And so he says here, he sent back a message. Nehemiah knew what to do. He says, so I send messengers saying to them, I am doing a great work.
Yes.
So if you know the work you're doing is of God, keep doing it.
Yes.
Don't let anything discourage you.
Yes.
Let nothing stop you.
Yes.
Keep on walking by faith.
Yes.
Don't let anything discourage you or distract you or short track you or sidetrack you or get you moving away from the thing God has given you to do. Be steadfast, like Paul said, and unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as your work is, your labor is not in vain. In the Lord, keep on working. Keep on pressing. See? And then when the another writer said, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Because what you're dealing with is nowhere near the magnitude of the cross. He was despising the shame, but he made it through. He got all the way through and accomplished everything God sent him to do. So like Nehemiah here, he's showing a little tenacity. I'm going to stay in the Spirit, I'm going to keep my faith, and I'm going to keep on going and get done what God has given me to do. No matter what, nothing can stop it, church. Don't make any difference what it is. Nothing has more power than God to come against you if God has given you something to do. You got to know that. That's where the faith comes in.
Yes.
You keep your faith and you keep on walking and you keep on moving, checking in with the Spirit all as you go.
Yes.
So they sent messengers four times. They didn't just say one time I'm going to come and trouble you and maybe you'll stop. They kept on sending him. Four times, it says in verse 4, in this manner, and I answered in the same way. No way, Jose. I'm going to put it in the modern vernacular. Get back, Jack. Keep your hands off my staff. He told him, get going. Hit the road, Jack, somebody said. You know? And he kept sending them away.
No more, no more.
See there? Don't you come back. There you go. No more, no more. Somebody know that one. Then Sanballat said, sent his servants to me. Now he's going to send a personal servant in the same manner a fifth time. See that? With an open letter in his hand. Oh, here, I'm bringing this to you personally now. Like to show a little more importance. Your enemy will not stop. He will keep on coming. But you need not stop. Realize God's grace is sufficient for you. That his power is perfected in your weakness. And you will persevere if you keep on pressing. And this is what I wanted you to know. I want you to understand this because I think we're at a point now in our ministry where we're going to start to see some things changing.
Yeah.
I think we're going to start seeing some things improving.
Yeah.
And so you have to look at these illustrations. This is a good illustration of the providence of God, which is how God sets up the circumstances of what unbelievers are doing. Listen to what this is saying. He sets up the circumstances of what unbelievers are doing. You see this? And in order to accomplish his will in the world. So he sets it up for the benefit of the ones who are doing his work. And he wants ultimately to become, what he wants is ultimately to become, in the case of his people who are like Nehemiah, that you will find yourself positioned and even against the enemies of God who hate what they're doing. And he would love to shut them down entirely. That's what the enemy would like to do. But God is with you. And that's why we need to look at what Paul says here. You need to realize, Paul says here in verse 28 of chapter 8 of Romans, and we know, this is how you know, that God is even working in the details, even when people who are against you, he works all things together for good to them that love God. So if you love God, you can know God is working all things together for your good, and to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see that? If he called you, he's going to take you through. You have to know that. That's why I said your faith is important.
All right.
You have to hold on to your faith no matter what it is you're dealing with. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now this goes back into eternity and says that God is the one who knew and called you before you were ever born. See, for whom he did foreknow, that's what that means. He had an intimate relationship with you long ago, even before he formed you in your mother's womb.
Yes.
He is also predestined, that's how we know, to predestinate you to be conformed to the image of his son. That's your destination, is to be like Christ. Your predestination is from the foundation of the world, I selected you.
That's right.
Like God told Jeremiah. Remember that?
Yes.
So whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we have the example of Jesus to look at.
Oh yes.
And that's why the writer to the Hebrews said, fix your eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
The author and the finisher of your faith.
Yes.
Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Despising the shame.
Yes.
See that? So he was able to endure all that because he looked at what the finished product would do and how it would please God.
Mama.
So it says, whom he, them he called, he also justified. That means declared you not guilty.
Yes.
Them he justified, he also glorified.
Yes.
In other words, the work on God's end is already done.
Yes.
Even though we don't see it ourselves, fully done yet. I still see I got issues. But God's working on them, and he promised me he'd fix all of them.
Yes, he will.
See, so I got to remain in faith, keep on walking in the Spirit, and it doesn't make any difference what comes into my life to try to sidetrack me. Got to just keep going. And notice this, he says in verse 31, for what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Yeah.
Who?
No.
Think about it. If God is for you, who can successfully be against you? That doesn't mean they won't be against me. They just won't be successful. They're going to be there. There's going to be some folk against me. But they're not going to be successful because God is for me. See that? That's why he said, who can be against you? Good question. Think about it. He who spared not his own son, if he did that for you,
wow.
He delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Everything you need has already been paid for by the blood of Jesus. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died.
Yes.
If Jesus died for you, who has a system of condemnation worse than the perfect sacrifice of Christ?
No.
Who?
Nobody.
No one.
Right.
See that? So God justifies. He's not condemning. He's for you. He's not against you.
Yes.
And not only that, but when Christ died, he says, yea, rather, that is risen again. The death didn't even keep him down. Because he defeated it. Who is even at the right hand of God? That's the place of highest preeminence and blessing. And who also makes intercession for us. You know what? Even when you and I are not praying, guess what? Guess who is praying?
Grumbling to the Father.
Guess who else is still praying?
Grumbling to the Father.
This verse says the Son himself is praying for you. He is an advocate that's with the Father like John says. See? So he's there. You got Jesus,
yes.
And then you also have the Holy Spirit,
right.
Who he says later on, who is also praying. Now he's not praying sitting at the right hand of the Father. Where is the Holy Spirit with you? He's in me, sealed.
There is he.
See, yeah. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
See that? And he is there to intercede for you for stuff you don't even know how to ask or what to ask. You see that? So he's there uttering groanings to the Lord. Then he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? If he loves you that much, who can break that kind of a bond? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? The answer is no to every question. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long and are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. See that? You are more than a conqueror. Tell that to yourself when you get up, when your feet, before your feet hit the floor. I am more than a conqueror. For I am persuaded that neither death, did you notice that the first thing on the list is death?
Death.
Nor life. Life can sometimes be as bad as death. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. There won't be anything coming later that we don't know about. We got folks telling us, oh, we don't know. Oh, there's a asteroid coming in from deep space and it's going to decimate the planet. No, it's not. If it does, I'm going to be out of here before it hits, brother. Because the Lord promised me that nothing is coming that can separate me from his love. See that? And see, he said neither death nor life nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So as long as we are in the world, we shall have conflict mostly in two ways. You can simplify it to two ways, which are internal and external. You're going to have some internal conflicts in your own mind, you know, the way you process information, the way you apply it, the way you process the word and the way you apply it. Sometimes it's a conflict.
Yes, it is.
Because we have trouble assimilating what God has told us to do. Or sometimes we're stubborn.
Yes.
No, nobody in here is stubborn. You just don't want to do what God said. But those are the things you have to keep on the altar and pray about. That's why you stay in faith, even if you're a little stubborn. I know I tend to be a little stubborn here and there. My wife will say, amen. She's probably over there right now. You can be stubborn. Do you see what I'm saying? So we want to stay in prayer. Internal conflicts can be a problem. And sometimes the external conflicts may even be worse. So therefore, we want to watch these things, therefore, and they are major development within our Christian walk, and must be focused on these two so that we find ourselves moving closer to the goal of Christ-likeness and further away from the ways of the world, who continues to hate God and his true followers. The world is beginning to be more antagonistic against the church.
Yes.
That will continue. You know what? The church started that way. Mm-hmm. I want to remind you. There was no church.
Right.
The Jews were the closest people to the right thing, a right relationship with God. And they were so twisted that they slew the Messiah when he came.
Sure did.
See what I'm saying?
Missing.
They slew him when he came. And God had already written it in the book and they didn't even know it. So there was hostility. Then the apostles had to preach the gospel of Christ to the Jews first.
That's right.
And then also to the Samaritans. Told them go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. So the church has always been up against opposition. And that won't stop even till the trumpet sounds.
That's right.
So being certain about exactly where we stand with God, that's what we say, that you have to be in your faith. We can only be perfect when we build our faith upon a personal relationship with God through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and should give us blessed assurance that all things are working together for our good and for his glory.
Yes,
the only thing I would add at this point is, are you saved?
Oh, yes.
Do you know that you know that you know?
All right.
That you trust in Christ alone.
All right. It is a good thing.
And that you are saved.
Mama.
That's the important thing.
Right.
Nobody can save you but Jesus.
Nobody.
And I want to be point blank, black and white.
Right.
And I know that's not politically correct. But Jesus said, he's the one who said it.
Right.
He said, he who is not with me is against me.
Yes.
And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad.
That's right.
So either you're with me or you are against me. So the world makes it complicated. Oh, there's 4,732 religions. Jesus said there are two. He who is not with me is against me. Pretty simple, isn't it? Just two. You believe me or you don't. So we offer salvation to anyone who needs to be saved. Amen. If you're not saved, then at this time we also open the doors of the church to accept a member by letter, Christian experience, or candidate for baptism. Amen. That means you're already saved and you come on the profession of your own faith. Amen. Amen. Thank God for Mother Lemon.
My Lord!
name we thank God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Would there be another?
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
My Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. We thank God for Mother Lemon.
Amen. Yeah, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Let me say this, I have known her my entire serious Christian life. Because she was there the day that I got in the church and stayed. I've been here ever since, and she's bore testimony to that all the time. Amen. And so she's one of my favorite people.
Thank you, Jesus.
On earth, just because I've been knowing her so long.
Amen.
And she has been there to cover. Amen. Throughout all that I have been through. Amen. And she's kept an eye on me, even though we weren't in the same church throughout the years. Amen. So I thank God for her. Amen. So we are blessed today. Amen. Amen. We'll give her an opportunity for her life to speak.
My Lord.
Her own way.
First, I'd like to say, thank you, Jesus. What he was preaching about, Nehemiah, he was doing a good work. Nobody could stop him. He told the young man when he come to try to get him off of his job that he was doing a good work and I won't come down. And why should I come down to you?
Right.
That's one thing you got to do. You got to resist the devil.
Amen.
You resist him, he'll flee from you. If you
yes, he will.
And the next thing I'd like to know, I think I'm where I belong.
Amen.
Amen.
I had many people, friends, family, why don't you go back to Mount Herald? Because I was in the making of Mount Herald in 1955.
All right.
And I stayed there until 2005.
Wow.
But I am happy where I am. You know where you know you're going to be able to serve the Lord without anybody talking about it or telling you what you want to do. Said, I believe in God and always has believed in Him, and nothing is going to stop me from not believing in Him. No, from 6 years old up until now, I've never been out of church.
Wow.
I needed the teaching, and this is the man to do it.
Yes. Amen.
Only one, but I know he's a good teacher, a good preacher, and if you can't understand what he's saying, something is wrong with you. And another thing too, I want you to know, I'm a recycled teenager. God is good. He is good. You can't beat him with a hammer. I don't care how you try, you can't beat him. And I've got all of you, I'm the kind of person who has problems finding fault about other people. I don't know the three of you, but I feel about you, even though I haven't met you, I haven't been around you for just a little while. But everybody seems to have such smiling faces. When you come in here, there's nobody looking at you like you like the cat dragging something the cat dragging. This young man back here, that's another guy you can't beat with him. If you ask him to do something for you, I don't think he know the meaning of the word no. Because he is just that kind of person.
Amen.
I have never called on him yet, but he didn't come to my rescue.
Amen.
So all of us, if we follow the right path and don't let our foot slip, we're going to make it in. I'm trying all I can to make
it
in. So pray for me that I continue to however long the Lord's going to let me stay here, that I will continue to be on His side.
Amen.
He's truly on my side.
Amen.
Oh, yes, Lord.